Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Today we're going to continue our study in the book of Colossians. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you're able to, and turn to Colossians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 24 through 29. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Follow along as I read. The Bible says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Now, if you've been able to follow along in our study of the book of Colossians, earlier in this chapter, the Apostle Paul was exalting Christ. Of course, that's what we all need to do in our lives, but the Word of God, it exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. But as David Jeremiah says, there's a shift in verse 24. As Paul began speaking about himself as a preacher of the gospel, 8 times in the next 13 verses, he refers to himself in the first person singular, I. We can put our own names there. While none of us are the Apostle Paul, he's our model and mentor when it comes to personal ministry. If we take these verses personally, we'll be ready to serve the Lord as never before. The theme of our lesson today is commitment. Commitment. And I hope today that if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're just not a pew sitter, you're just not a spectator, but that you're involved in the ministry. For God has called every child of God to be involved in Christian ministry. So we're going to look at some areas of Christian ministry today that are mentioned in these verses that we're studying. The first one is Christian ministry involves suffering. Look at verse 24 again, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you." Well, as evidenced by Paul's current circumstances, if you'll remember, he's incarcerated in Rome. He's under arrest. He doesn't have the freedom and the liberty to go about preaching the gospel in different areas of the world, starting new churches and traveling here and there as he was able to earlier in his missionary journeys. Now he's in one place. He cannot do those things that he could do before. And yet God is using him in a mighty way. Warren Wiersbe put it this way. In fact, he was a prisoner in Rome because of his love for the Gentiles. He was arrested in Jerusalem on false charges, and the Jews listened to his defense until he used the word Gentiles. I want you to see just briefly what that looked like. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 22. So I'm turning in my Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 22. We're not going to read the whole defense that Paul gave, but I invite you to do that in your own time. But if you pick up in verse number 21, towards the end of Paul's defense, after he was arrested, the Bible says this, "And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Verse 22 says, "And they gave him audience unto this word." What word is he talking about? the word Gentiles, so much animosity between the Jewish religious leaders and the Gentiles. Verse 22 goes on and says, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, these Jewish religious leaders were having a fit. Why? Because Paul talked about how God had called him to share the gospel message with the Gentiles. Paul's ministry involves suffering. Let me tell you something. If you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we too are going to suffer for the cause of Christ. But what a privilege it is. The Bible says here that in verse number 24 back in Colossians, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Let's think about that source of joy for the Apostle Paul. He didn't rejoice to suffer for suffering's sake, but he did rejoice to suffer for the sake of the church. I'm going to look at a couple of different verses regarding that theme of suffering. First one is found in Philippians chapter number 3. I want to share with you what Paul wrote to the Philippian believers in Philippians chapter 3. Beginning in verse number 4, he wrote, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now notice what Paul says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And then he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul rejoiced, found it a privilege to suffer for the cause of Christ, for the sake of the church, because the more he suffered, the more he worked and he labored and he served the Lord Jesus Christ, the closer he became to the Lord. And that's true of us. Our strength is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul wanted to know Christ better and better. And let me tell you something, Christian, suffering is a part of that equation. The Bible also says in the book of Acts, and I'm looking at chapter 5, beginning in verse 40, this reference here is concerning Peter, some of the other apostles. And the Bible says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Oh my, Peter and the apostles were beaten for the cause of Christ. But look at verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Well, suffering was a source of joy for the Apostle Paul, and our suffering for Christ is a part of our connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know the Lord personally, you're going to experience persecution. You're going to experience some sort of suffering if you're serving the Lord as he's called us to serve him. The words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter number 15. The Bible says in verses 18 and 19, Jesus is speaking here and he says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Bible continues to show light on this area of suffering. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And then the Bible goes on in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." We're in 1 Peter, skip down to chapter 4. Look with me in verse number 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Perhaps I'm speaking today with somebody who's experiencing persecution. You're experiencing suffering in your life as a Christian. These words that the Scriptures give us are to encourage us and to help us as we minister and do our part to further God's kingdom. Another place I want to look at is found in Acts chapter number 9, the first four verses. And we're going to tie this suffering back into the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now, before Paul was saved, he was referred to as Saul in the Scriptures, as he is here in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, if he found any of this way," referring to Christianity, "whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" We have a wonderful record here of the salvation of Saul, who God would later call as an apostle. But here he was, he met Christ on his way to persecute believers. Now, here's the point that I want to make. Persecution against believers is persecution against Christ. And when we are persecuted for serving Christ, those persecutors are literally persecuting Christ in a sense. Skip down to verse number 13 of this same chapter, Acts chapter 9. "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he," referring to Saul, "is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Paul himself now is going to be on the receiving end of this suffering. He who is a persecutor would become persecuted, but what a privilege to suffer for the Lord. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 36, and this is what he wrote, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And certainly the Apostle Paul had the marks of suffering on his body. So as we turn back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 24, Christian ministry involves suffering. "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my body for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, beginning of verse 25, Christian ministry involves serving, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul recognized the stewardship given to him by God. The Greek word for minister is the same Greek word that we get the word deacon, and it refers to serving. Paul was commissioned by God to proclaim a particular message, and he referred to that message as a mystery. Now, a mystery in the Bible is a revealed truth that hadn't been known before, but God has revealed it. In this case, the mystery is God's revelation concerning the church, composed not only of believing Jews, but get this, of believing Gentiles. That wall of partition was taken down, and now Jews and Gentiles who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're in that same body, the body of Christ. The gospel, my friend, has no boundaries. Our only hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christian ministry involves suffering. Christian ministry involves serving. But not only that, in verse 28, Christian ministry involves speaking. So we're looking here in verse 28, whom we preach. Preaching Christ, that's what the gospel is. It's about Jesus, what he did for us, who he is, and how that by receiving him as our Savior, we can have eternal life. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We need to warn everyone that we have the opportunity to. That's evangelizing people, reaching them with the gospel. For the lost, we need to warn them about the coming judgment of God. For the believer, we need to warn them about drifting from Christ and drifting from his truth. And then he goes on here, and he says, whom we preach, warning every man, but then he says, teaching every man in all wisdom. We need to educate people the word of God. We need to educate them of the revelation God has given us. We need to teach everyone that we have the opportunity to do that with. That's what we're doing today. This radio ministry that we're involved in and teaching the Word of God, we're trying to do that. We're trying to educate people that we might continue to grow in our knowledge and understanding of what God wants us to know. And then we need to help bring others to maturity in Christ. He goes on here, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now listen, you're not going to be perfect in the sense that you have no faults. You're perfect in that way. It's talking about maturity. It's talking about full growth, having lacked nothing. That's what he's talking about here when he's talking about the perfection. But we need to edify people, building people up in their maturity in Christ. Our job is to evangelize, to edify, and to help people grow in maturity to Christ. Warren Wiersbe said this, "The false teachers exalted themselves in their great spiritual attainments. They preached a system of teaching, but Paul preached a person. The Gnostics preached philosophy and the empty traditions of men, but Paul proclaimed Jesus Christ. The false teachers had lists of rules and regulations, but Paul presented Christ." What a difference in ministries. And that's what we need to understand. We are ministers representing a person. We're representing God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son. We represent a person. And Christian ministry, we learn, involves suffering. It involves serving. It involves speaking. And then lastly today, Christian ministry involves struggling. It's not easy to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think one of the hardest ministries we see in the Bible is when you're reading the Old Testament and God calls you to be a prophet. That was a difficult ministry. I'm glad we're not in the Old Testament today, but yet we still have a hard job to do as ministers of Christ. Look at verse 29 of Colossians again. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Christian ministry involves struggling. Ministry requires working hard for the Lord. The word labor there is the idea of working so hard that by the time you're done with your workday, you're very weary, you're tired, you're exhausted, you have given all that you can give. And then he uses the word striving. Well, ministry requires not only hard work, but it requires an effort. You know, sometimes it's not just the work that hinders us, it's the getting started that hinders us. Striving is the idea of to enter a contest, to contend with the adversaries, to fight, to endeavor with strenuous zeal, strive to obtain something. And then finally, its definition is to agonize. To agonize. And certainly that's what Paul did. He gave everything he had to his Savior. He gave his life. He gave his time. He gave his talents. He gave his efforts. He gave his body. He gave his breath. All to the service of Christ. I'm humbled when I look at the Apostle Paul and how badly I fail compared to this mentor and this example of what we're all to be as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, to Christ working in him. It's what he's talking about, which worketh in me mightily. The Bible talks about us working out the salvation that God has worked within us. We work not according to the flesh, but energized by Christ working in us. I want to look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse number 10. For thereunto we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. And then finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to look at verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10. Paul writes, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. My friend, we work not according to the flesh, but energized by Christ working in us. I like the way that Dr. Jeremiah explained it. He said, we may grow weary in the work, but not of the work. Not of the work. God has called us to serve him. If we're going to serve him, it involves suffering. It involves service. It involves speaking. And it involves struggling. I want to encourage you today, wherever you are in your life, where God has placed you, those people around you, those opportunities that you have, use them for the Lord. We have but a short time, and our life here on earth will be over, and then we'll look back and Unfortunately, many of us will say, oh, I should have done more. I should have done more. May God richly bless you today. May we encourage each other to serve Him faithfully.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.